Welcome back to the Captain's Run with Cameron Smith. We are here for Chemist Warehouse. Head into Chemist Warehouse for great savings every day. Give us a text 0457 736 736 or follow at Captain's Run NRL on Twitter. Also, make sure to follow at SEN League on Instagram and TikTok. Biggest question of the week, maybe biggest question of the year, who is the best man to replace Nathan Cleary? Thoughts, Smithers?
Oh, look, well, there's a fair few names getting tossed around at the moment. Adam Reynolds, of course, at the Broncos, playing great football, some of the best football he's played in a long, long time. People are saying, well, he might be best suited given he plays at Suncorp. Game two being played up there, it's pretty much his home ground now that he plays on every second week. So he's accustomed to playing in that arena, in that environment, big crowds. Also, you know, does Nicho Hynes just take that natural progression into the seven jersey now? Dally a medalist, of course, from 2022. And a lot being said about Nicho Hynes and his form over the past 18 months. The coaching staff of New South Wales, do they go for a whole new halves pairing? Does Cody Walker get a look in? There's so many different options and variations that are being tossed around at the moment. For mine, though, Kempe, I feel as though the natural thing that will happen will be Nicho Hynes takes the seven jersey and he moves in to the halves pairing with Luai.
Okay. So basically, do you think from your perspective, you see it as he was picked in the squad for game one, essentially announcing that he is the next man up if there's a halves that goes down. So stick with the plan from the get-go that you had from game one for the series?
Well, I'm saying stick with the plan that Nicho Hynes is in your best 17 for the series at the start. Like if you're picking Nicho Hynes, and in actual fact, I struggled to get my head around his role in that first game. When they picked him on the bench, I'm thinking to myself, Cleary's not coming off the field. Luai's not coming off the field unless either one of those players were injured. And Tedesco's not coming off the field either. So they're the three positions that Nicho Hynes has played over the past, you know, 3 to 4 seasons. You know, all seven with the Sharks, but he played in those three different positions, halfback, 5'8", and fullback with the Melbourne Storm, and did a fantastic job. Of course, you know, that season where he played a lot of fullback for the Melbourne Storm and Ryan Papenhuyzen was injured and was fantastic at the back. But when I looked at the New South Wales outfit, I'm thinking if those three players aren't injured, I don't know what role Nicho Hynes will play. Mm. Now, if Tom Trbojevic doesn't come from the field or is removed from the field with HIA protocols, does Nicho Hynes get on the field?
Mm.
That was my concern when Nicho was selected, was is this going to be a repeat of 2020? If you think back to 2020 grand final, Kempe, Craig Bellamy couldn't find an opportunity in that game to get Nicho Hynes on the field in a grand final. Insane. Now, he's in the side because he did such a good job in the absence of, you know, Jerome Hughes and Cam Munster and Ryan Papenhuyzen throughout that year. He deputised in all three positions extremely well, which is why he was put in the side for that game, was, you know, his utility value and to cover, you know, several different positions. But because we didn't have any injuries or any issues with HIA or anything like that, he sat on the bench the whole time.
Mm.
So, but, you know, I moved past that point where, you know, he only played, what, 10 minutes or so for the Blues the other night. I think his time with the football side, particularly, you know, in game one this year where he spent a whole week's camp in the top 17, he spent a majority of the series last year in the squad. So he's been around that team now for a couple of series. So he's familiar with what they're about. He's familiar with the coaching. He's familiar with the entire setup and their preparation and whatnot. So I'd expect him to be named at number 7 for the Blues for game 2.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm of the mind that, you know, what has changed in 7 days that he's not the next man up? Let's say Cleary was injured.
Yeah.
I think the Blues go into game 1 with Hynes at 6. Hynes at 7, Luai at 6. Maybe even Hynes Walker, but let's just say, you know, Luai at 6. And so I understand the argument of Reynolds. He's got an incredible kicking game. And as we've seen over the past few years, is like the kicking game is arguably a winner or loser. Like whoever's the better kicker wins the game. That's how tight it is. So I get that. But I just think that, like, what kind of message does it send that, you know, 7 days ago you were our man? You know, you had one missed tackle that, yes, it was crucial. Yes, you should have made it. Now you're no longer the guy to get the job done. On top of that, I understand, you know, there's so much pressure on winning Origin. It's, you know, 3 games of the year.
Yeah.
But I do think you need to prepare for the future. And if Cleary does have an injury in the future or Luai's form drops, you want Hines to have as much experience as possible.
Yeah. Well, you'd like to think that he is the long-term seven for the Blues. That's what, you know, his form suggests, and, you know, all the talk around the way he's been playing over the last 18 months in particular. It's a really fascinating one, Kempe. It's a fascinating one because let's say they opt for anyone other than Nicho Hynes at seven. I don't think he gets selected for the team in game two, because I strongly believe they'll bring in Damien Cook for game two, and they'll play with Coruscant Cook combination. Doesn't matter whoever starts and whoever comes off the bench. It could be either, but I think if Nicho doesn't get the number seven jersey, I don't think he's in the team for game two.
Yeah, mate, I agree. Unless, well, I mean, Cleary's not there, so. Yeah, because what I was surprised at, I personally thought, you know, when we spoke about this last week, I thought that they would give Appy 10 minutes rest and put Luai there at number nine, and there would be a kind of set game plan to get Hynes in.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, Kempe. I think a lot of people were predicting that, but when that happens, right, let's say, so you want to give Appy a rest, and then by moving Luai from sixth to the number nine position, and then bringing Nicho Hynes off the bench into the number six, you're actually making two changes for one, if you understand what I mean. You're taking one person off the field, but then you're making two changes in your team, which is why I said earlier about unless there was injury to either Luai or Cleary, they weren't going to change.
Yeah.
They weren't going to change. So the fact that, you know, Brad Fittler didn't make a sub to get Nicho Hynes on the field earlier suggests to me that if he is not picked as a halfback for the New South Wales Blues in game two, I don't think he'll be there.
Yeah, wow.
I just don't think he'll be there. Mm. Because I feel quite strongly that they will opt for the dual dummy half rotation in game two.
Mate, I was so surprised that Cookie didn't get selected even in game one. I really thought he had such
a
great year.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. It'd be great for Cookie to get called back up because, you know, he's played so well at Origin. I was just so surprised that how quickly he fell out of favours. I mean, look, that's probably the fair. He's still in favour in regards to Freddie, you know, gave him a call, let him know, mate, you're next in line. So it's not like he's out of favour that far. But in regards to, I was just so surprised that, you know, for so many years, he'd done such a good job. I mean, what, he was there 18, 19,
yep.
He was 20, 21. So he'd basically won 3 out of 4 series, I think.
Mm.
Just really surprising that, yeah, he just gone from squad.
I think he'll be there. A guy that's knocking on the door for that position, though, Reece Robson. So impressive.
Mate.
Huge game of the weekend for the Cowboys with that big win against the Storm. The one thing I want to ask you, Kempe, though, is with Cleary being out, is there any chance that Jerome Luai won't be in the team?
Well, me personally, I actually would go Cody Walker in regards to if Cleary's there, I pick Luai. If Cleary isn't there, I go Walker. I go Cook at 9. I even consider going Murray at 13. Now, look, this sounds like you're making way too many changes, but I just think that because it's one game, a decider, you probably need, like for a few years now, the idea around New South Wales has been, we're going to pick a bunch of Penrith players, and that's going to be the skeleton of our side.
Yep.
Well, now that the key maestro of that is gone, do you not go, all right, let's pick some Rabbitohs players in the spine and just hope that they're going to be able to just gel immediately in Origin Game 2? Because if you let's say you keep Yeo at 13, you know, maybe Murray off the bench, Appy at 9, it's a very kind of makeshift halves pairing or spine that's really never played together.
Yeah, particularly for a do or die match, as you said.
Yeah, and also they don't get that. I think it's a longer camp, the first camp as well, isn't it?
No, well, exactly the same this time around.
Okay.
In previous years, this game two has been played on the Sunday, so it's been a 7-day camp, whereas this one, it's Wednesday again. We're back to all three games on Wednesdays.
Yeah, okay.
So it's a 10-day build-up again.
Yeah, okay. So at least you got the same amount in regards to the camp. But, look, as I said, Luai, it feels really unfair to say it because I thought he was one of New South Wales' best. And
yeah, so I agree, mate. Yep.
He was totally under so much pressure and so many people, speaking overly negative about him. And so on form, I don't think he deserves to get dropped. But
no.
I do just think that it's a decider. You just need to get at least, at the spine, I would get at least two of the four that have played together.
I'll tell you one interesting question, right? So so Nathan Cleary's out of game two. That's confirmed. Outside chance to be there for game three. Whoever he comes in and replaces him for game two, right? Say New South Wales beat Queensland in Brisbane.
Yeah.
Nathan's fit for game three. Oh. Tell me what happens.
Mate, honestly.
What happens?
Well, I spoke
about
this.
That's an interesting question.
A massively interesting question because not only, let's say New South Wales, they're the underdogs at the moment. They have this incredible folklore series win.
Yes.
All of a sudden, 5 years of planning with Cleary being the guy, now all of a sudden goes, well, is he the guy next year? It's no longer a sure thing that he gets selected. Even though I do believe Cleary is a guy, but, mate, I don't know. I honestly don't know. What would you do then, Smithy? I'll throw it back to you.
Oh, mate, no idea. And that's what makes Origin so... Oh, interesting, and everyone loves the drama in the theatre. And I was just thinking to myself just then as we're having that conversation. Let's say they pick Adam Reynolds, okay, just for argument's sake, and he plays an outstanding game. He gets the Blues home in game two, a game that people are saying they can't win or whatever, they're underdogs. He gets them home. Cleary comes back, he's fit for game three. What do they do?
Mate.
Oh,
I just
can't imagine
know.
The storylines there.
I mean, and also the problem is let's say they, Reynolds wins them that game. Then they go, yeah, but we're going to stay loyal to Cleary. He's been here for the last 5 years. And then they lose game three.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my
God.
Mean.
That's what I mean.
It shows you how, it's a bit bizarre because I kind of feel like, oh, no, I'm probably being a bit too biased here. But I feel like, for example, if DCE was injured and then someone came in and did a really, really good job, we would pick DCE next year, most likely. Obviously, you'd have to keep playing good at club and all of those things.
Yeah.
You could argue Dearden came in and played really well and he didn't get the role next week. Now, obviously, he's in Cam Munster's position. No one's, that spot. But, mate.
No, that, I was thinking that to myself just then too because Dearden come in, played for Munster, of course, in game three, but it's a new series, Kempy.
Yeah.
I'm talking mid-series. One all.
Oh,
you've had one half get the job done. Wow.
Text in 0457 736 736. Text it in and let us know if New South Wales go and win it, do you stick with the seven that got it done in Suncorp? Or do you bring Cleary back in for game three? Holy moly.
If he's fit.
If he's fit, obviously.
Yeah.
Now, Tom Trbojevic has been cleared for the Seagulls. Have the NRL set a dangerous precedent? Trbojevic has been cleared to play against the Dolphins on Friday night, despite being taken from the field in Origin 1. An independent doctor in the bunker ruled Trbojevic was presenting Category 1 symptoms on the night, but the Seagulls have confirmed Turbo has not been diagnosed with concussion. The Seagulls CEO, Tony Mestroff, said, throughout the process, Tom has not been diagnosed with concussion from either New South Wales doctor Nathan Gibbs or our club chief medical officer, Dr. Paul Bloomfield. This now comes as the Bulldogs are aiming for an exemption so Reid Marnie can play on Monday against the Eels.
Ooh, wow.
He will visit an independent neurologist on Friday after being taken from the field in their loss to the Roosters. Is this now setting a dangerous precedent for other clubs to follow, Smithers?
Well, absolutely. Well, why do we have independent doctors then?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much wiping, their say in all of these concussion protocols in live games.
Yep.
Because I think that's what he was ruled at or presenting Cat 1 symptoms on the night. which is why he was taken from the field. And I believe it played a part in, you know, Tom Flegler being sin-binned, you know, for Queensland. It's just, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's a dangerous one, this one, because we've taken so many steps forward into, you know, the player welfare and concussion and head knocks and all this sort of stuff. We see, you know, we're seeing players every week removed from the field with HIA protocols and concussion symptoms. I don't know how you overrule the independent doctor that ruled on the night.
Well, look,
as
you said, mate, like, there's independent doctors far more qualified, including medicals, Manly staff, but mate, hasn't been diagnosed with a concussion. It looked like he was pretty rocked.
Yeah.
From that hit. Like,
yeah.
And then if he wasn't hitting head forcefully, why was Flegler sent 10 in the bin?
Yeah, well, okay. So, righto. Well, let's go a little bit further. And this is, we're thinking outside this box here, Kempy. But, so if Tom Trbojevic is cleared to play this week, and that means he didn't have concussion, can Queensland get 10 minutes credit for a player in game two?
Yeah.
Can we get that, please, NRL?
Mate, it's bizarre.
Well, actually, I think Queensland had 14 men on the field for 30 seconds, so can we get 9 minutes 30?
Yes, please. Please, sir.
We'll minus that out of the 10.
Yes.
Can we play with 14? You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, I'm being facetious there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be a little bit funny, but you know that if there's a ruling of concussion on the night, like, why are we? I don't know why we're trying to play with this type of serious issue. You know, trying to then say, look, we'd like a player back. He's not showing any signs now. Like, hasn't there been studies telling us that, you know, sometimes symptoms take quite some time to present themselves, and I'm talking, you know, longer than 7 days.
Mate, I just don't understand. And clearly, as I said, doctors way smarter than me, CEOs way smarter than me.
Yep.
But
yep.
I just don't understand this idea that he was never diagnosed with a concussion. It doesn't make sense to me. You know what? I'm going to go and watch the interview because I'm sure they explain it. But just looking at it on face value, like, why was he taken from the field then if he didn't have a concussion?
Yeah.
As in, like, because he didn't return, did he? He didn't return?
No, he didn't come on back. No. No, that's why Hines took his place and stayed on the field, mate.
And then Tommy didn't come on for the last minute?
No.
So, anyway, I think it sets a dangerous precedent. I think that if we got 11-day rule, we should stick with it.
Yeah, and there's a reason why that was put in place. I don't think there was just chucked in there just to look good or, you know, to present a certain sort of picture for the public. Like, I'm sure that process was thought out quite deliberately and at length, you know, to protect the players. And, you know, to answer that question, does it set a dangerous precedent? Of course it does.
Yeah.
Like news spread around about, you know, Manly trying to get Tommy to play, and all of a sudden, you know, the Bulldogs are doing that with Reid Marnie. Every other club will try and do that now.
Absolutely.
Every other club, I guarantee you.
Absolutely. Now, we're going to head to a break. After the break, we've got everyone's favourite moment. Holy schnitz moments. Thanks to Schnitz.